Hello, folks. I'm Tom Majeure, and we want to welcome you to Strong Tower Radio Features, a community service program that touches issues that are important to you and your community. My co-host today is Pastor E.J. Wolf. Welcome, Pastor E.J.
Thank you for having me today.
We really enjoyed having you about the youth triathlon. In fact, we'll probably talk a little bit about that somewhere in this broadcast.
Sure.
Well, Pastor, what are the churches that you pastor?
Frost, Edmore, and Lakeview are the three churches in my district right now. Small churches in the middle of Michigan, but they're passionate people. Glad to be there.
In fact, we're actually doing this recording in the Frost Church, the church in the Wildwood. Well, actually, it's the church not in the Wildwood, but in the middle of the field.
That's right, in the middle of potato fields.
Absolutely, but a very vibrant and delightful congregation. We also have Dr. Cindy Tuch. Cindy, would you introduce yourself?
Certainly. I actually lived here in Michigan quite a few years. My dad went to Andrews when I was a kid, so grades 5 through 8, I was right at Andrews University. And then we taught at Adelphian Academy for 5 years, and 6 years actually, and then 5 years at Great Lakes Adventist Academy. I pastored the Carson City Church for a year with my students from the academy. You might remember that.
Oh, I do. It was a great time.
Yes, yes. And so I'm just delighted that Pastor EJ invited me back here to hold a week of prayer for his churches, his district. And I'm looking forward to continuing to participate with his people. Just wonderful people of God want to know him in deeper ways.
And why we have Cindy today is talking about how to involve youth in ministry.
Oh, okay. That's a great topic.
It is. It is. Pastor EJ, will you lead us in a word of prayer?
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful to be part of your church, a church that has a passion for young people. And Lord, as we're discovering ways to help our young people get involved, to see the importance they have in our church, we ask that you will give us wisdom and guidance and ideas to share. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
The background of this particular program and the connection that brings us all together is Pastor EJ, somebody got you involved in youth ministry. Who might that have been?
She was Mrs. Tuch then. She was my Bible teacher and started a witnessing class for students. And she was tenacious. She never stopped asking the students to be involved in outreach. Very persistent, never stopped asking us to get involved and really piped up that class. And she had a big witnessing class there.
Yeah, we had 2/3 of the student body at Great Lakes Adventist Academy involved in either the outreach class that did community service in the neighborhood or in the witnessing class that taught Revelation seminars and did Bible studies with children and adults.
Wait a minute. You said Revelation seminars? We have listeners in our audience that in their congregations, they say that Revelation is a closed book, and it's probably a pretty tough book to fathom at that for anybody who's embracing it. How did you do that?
Well, we cheated a little bit.
You cheated,
huh? We did.
Okay.
We used...
Remember, we're on radio here.
It's okay.
We're on a Christian radio station.
This is true confessions.
Oh, true confessions.
We used Doug Batchelor as a lecturer by tape. I think it was VHS tape.
Okay.
Back in the day.
Back in the day.
Uh-huh. And then the audience, which was largely not persons of our faith community, would come in and gather in small groups at tables. And what they didn't know is this would be a teenager leading them through the Bible study guides. So a group of people would be directed to a table, and there would be a couple of teenagers there that would direct them with prayer, with getting to know them, sometimes registering them. And then they would go through the brochure that had the questions and answers and the Bible text to reach to look up. And then at the conclusion, the students would ask the question, would you like to make a stand for the Sabbath of the Bible? Would you like to be baptized as a Christian? And this was a wonderful experience for the students and a little bit surprising to the adults, but they actually really appreciated it because the students were a bit tentative. They didn't necessarily come in saying that they knew everything. And I think the adults kind of appreciated that they weren't being pushed or coerced. This was just kids, and I think it was a bit astounding to them that the kids actually could find these books of the Bible probably better than most of the adults. And they often, in many cases, became good friends. Pastor EJ has a story of what happened at his table that you might want to hear.
Okay, so Pastor EJ.
I was a senior.
The rest of the story.
That's right. I was a senior at Great Lakes Academy and... Boarding high school in the middle of Michigan. And I was sitting at one of those tables she was talking about. I didn't know I was going to be one of the student leaders, but...
How did that happen, Cindy?
You know, that's been a long time ago, and so I'm not exactly sure of the details, but not every student had been selected to serve as a teacher. They might have been just attending to observe and to be friends with the people who came to the table. And I believe that must have been the case with EJ, but it didn't stay like that. So let him tell you the rest of the story.
Okay.
Here I was sitting at the table, and some people from the community started sitting around the table, and the time was... ready for us to start the lesson, and they're all looking at me. So, so I looked at Mrs. Tooch and I said, "What am I going to do?" She said, "Start with number one."
Start at the beginning?
That's right. We went through the lesson together, and I was terrified, but we finished the lesson. They had some questions that I didn't know all the answers to, and I thought, "Oh, Lord, I'm going to really have to start studying." You know, it's one thing to understand the truth and a different thing to be able to teach it. And you have to study at a whole different level. And so I really started studying my Bible like I'd never studied the Bible before. You know, not just so that I could understand, but help other people understand.
And how did that impact you? Were you were scared, of course, at first. Did you ever get over that fear?
No, every night I was scared. I was always praying, "Lord, help me get through this lesson and answer the questions to the best of my ability." But at the end of that program, four of the people at the table got baptized.
No way.
It changed my life.
Somebody told me a long time ago, and it stuck with me, to have your first love experience. We all have our personal relationship. We need to have that relationship. Right. But in order to have it again, you have to get it vicariously through somebody else.
Yeah.
And when somebody else brings their life, where were you spiritually before that meeting?
You know, I don't think I was at a low point in my spiritual life or a high point. I was just kind of, lukewarm, like a lot of
people
are. I was
going
along with the program. I paid attention in Bible class. I didn't sleep. And I was a fairly decent student, but I didn't really have a passion for it until I saw the difference that it started making in other people. And then when I saw them get baptized, I was hooked.
And where did that take you?
I went on to Andrews University, and I was still struggling. Where does the Lord want me to be? After about a half a year of kind of being undecided, my friends said, "You really should be in the ministry." And so I changed my major to theology.
No looking back.
Well, I've looked back many times. When I graduated, I went on to be a student missionary in Korea, fell in love with teaching over there, taught for 15 years, came back and thought I was still going to be a teacher. But the local church that my family was involved with had a pastor that quit the ministry. And so I just started helping out
just
where I could.
Up.
Yeah. Put my thumb in the hole so the water didn't fill the church up. And I was helping with prayer meeting and preaching. A Sabbath school teacher also left. And so I started teaching kids Sabbath school, just helping where I could. And the church people said, "You know, you should probably ask the conference for a job." So I did. I put an application in. In a couple of months, I had an interview, and May 1st, 2012, I became the pastor of the Gaylord Church, that home church I've been preaching in for about 6 months.
So it all started with this involving youth. So that is our topic today. What words of wisdom, being that you're actually a product of involving youth, what do you have to share to our listening audience, be that if they are of our faith belief or those who listened of any faith belief? How do you involve youth? What was your takeaway from that?
You know, now that my kids, I've got two teenagers now at the academy where I grew up, and I'm watching their spiritual walk, it brings me back to the memories of when I was there, right? And I want them to have that same kind of experience that hooked me, you know? And so I asked Pastor Cindy, hey, remember me? And she did. You know, it's incredible to me that God can use people who don't really maybe know their Bibles the best, but have a willing spirit, right?
Right.
And my first experience of getting my feet wet, giving Bible studies, hooked me and helped me become more of a Bible student. And I want that same experience for my kids. So we've brought her back, asking Dr. Tooch to share with us some of the techniques and skills to get kids wanting to be involved in ministry, and maybe some ideas to other people who got the same problems maybe in their church of how they can get youth involved.
Absolutely. Dr. Tooch, how do you feel when you have one of your students who have become an E.J. Wolfe, a pastor of a congregation? What does that do for you?
Just such an incredible amazement at what God has wrought in Pastor EJ's life and in the lives of others who got their first taste of sharing Jesus and seeing people commit their lives to Jesus in one of these outreach programs. Pastor EJ did something else, I think, that may have encouraged him as well. While you were still in college, right, I invited him to come to the Northwest, where I was leading student groups to go door to door selling gospel literature. We call them mega books. And so it would be a way for them to earn tuition at private.
So they're not getting a free load or getting a gift.
Right.
They're actually earning it.
Yes. Uh-huh. So they were earning many of the Christian colleges that they were attending. Would match what they had earned in the summer, so that it made a significant contribution toward their educational expenses. But what was really wonderful about this is these students were learning punctuality, they were learning persistence, they were learning teamwork, they were learning to be brave for the Lord.
Because, resilience.
Yes, for sure. Because they were being asked to not only sell books door-to-door, but to seek where people were in their spiritual life, and ask them if they had anything for which they would like to be prayed for. And so this was wonderful leadership, spiritual leadership experience. And I had remembered that EJ had developed as a spiritual leader at Great Lakes. So I invited him to come back and be one of the leaders for this expansive summer program.
So you did it all summer long?
Did it all summer long. I got to be a team leader and help them learn to do some mega booking. And she also had them doing a youth-led evangelistic series that summer, too.
So. Wonderful. You know, youth involvement, that's what our topic is today. We're going to take a brief break, and we'll come right back with Dr. Tooch and how to involve young people in ministry.
When you're taking a trip, it's important to stay on the right road and to follow the GPS or roadmap to be sure that you get to your destination. Likewise, on your trip to heaven, it is vital to follow the roadmap, the Bible, God's positioning system. To do that, stay with Strong Tower Radio as we uplift the Bible and proclaim God's character. If you'd like to help with this mission, go to our secure website, www.strongtowerradio.org, and click on the donate button, or call 231-468-2087. We thank you, and may God bless you as we proclaim God's character together.
Hello, I'm back with Pastor E.J. Wolf, the pastor of the Frost, Edmore, and Lakeview Seventh-day Adventist Church. He gave his testimony how Dr. Tooch brought him into ministry, involved him as a youth. And Dr. Tooch, what is the most frequent question parents, pastors, church people are always saying? How can we get our youth involved? We just don't seem to do it. What are the questions they're asking right
now? Well, one question that I often hear is, how can I get my young person back to church? And I wonder, you know, is that really the most important question? Or maybe the question should be reframed a bit. How can I get my young person to know Jesus, to be a follower of Jesus, to recognize the love of Jesus for them as an individual and as a person? I think once we really love Jesus, then we're going to want to serve him. And what better way to learn to serve him than at church, which is the body of Christ. The church is organized for service. And so we can be of help to each other cross-generationally, encouraging each other and participating in activities that are helpful in the neighborhood, and certainly that seek to know where people are in their spiritual journey. There's a lot of young people that have a desire to make the world a better place. So maybe we can start there. Maybe we can invite them to participate in activities that are helpful in the community.
What might that look like?
Yeah, perhaps they might help at a women's shelter, you know, playing with children and maybe reading them a Bible story, having activities that kids like to do. I've done that with youth quite often. They could perhaps go to a mall or a fair and do a stop smoking demonstration as part of a booth. They could participate with a cooking school. Pastor EJ has had experience with running 5Ks, things like that, where students can get involved there. You might say, well, that doesn't seem just directly religious. But you know, if we get our young people involved in things that are connected to the church, they begin to see the church as a family. And they begin to see that they have a place in that family. So it maybe we're putting the cart before the horse by thinking we've got to get them sitting in that pew. Certainly that's important, because that's a place where people are praying and learning about God and learning from the Word. So we do ultimately want our kids in church, but maybe it's not the first step. Maybe the first step is just getting to know them. I think, Tom, that it's important to ask and find out all the names of all of the young people who could potentially be at church. Maybe in our church families, we could ask parents and grandparents and teachers who've been involved with Vacation Bible School and maybe a summer day camp or something like that. Who are the youth who have ever crossed
the threshold?
And then contact them by phone, by visit. Certainly, we would need to seek the parents' permission before we involve them in some kind of an activity. But I think most parents are eager to see their kids involved in something wholesome, something that doesn't have them glued to their screens. And so, you know, learning their names, visiting them, maybe putting them on some kind of an email list where they would be apprised of events that are happening at church and maybe things that the youth group is participating in. I know there was a time when my boys were about 18 and they weren't going to church.
And that must have been devastating for
you. Oh, it was extremely devastating.
I mean, here you are, the expert of youth involvement.
Yes, and my own sense, you know,
how did that happen?
You know, that's a question that I'll ask Jesus when I get to heaven. I don't know how it happened, but I know that Jesus is faithful and calls on their hearts. But I thought, as the church, maybe we could do a little bit more. So I asked, it was a very large church that we were attending at the time, and I asked the young adult pastor if he had reached out to my boys. And he said, no, I don't know who they are. And I thought, you know, that's the whole idea. We don't know who they are, and so we have to get to know them. And I think as a church community, it's important for us to know who the potential members are of the young adults and the youth and the teenagers and perhaps even the children, because today, you know, kids at the age of 10, 11, 12 can make a choice often in families of whether they're going to attend church. You know, they don't necessarily come as families once they reach a certain age. So for us to reach out to them, I think, is imperative. So I suggested to this pastor maybe the first thing he could do was to put them on his email list so they would even know about the events that were occurring as an outreach of the church for young adults. Because, you know, at that point they didn't. They didn't even know what the church calendar looked like, or the young adult calendar, since it was a large church. So yeah, I think step number one is to get to know them, to find out who the potential candidates for the kingdom of God are in that age category. And everybody likes to be noticed. So if we can call them by name, if we can check in with them here and there, I think it's helpful.
It's springtime now, so I've got a couple of young people that we're building some raised beds in our community. I just made a little poster. Who would like to have a free raised bed? It costs the church about $50 in lumber and some soil, but getting the young people out there, working with their hands, and building some raised beds. And then every week we go out there and we share with them a couple of nature nugget tips on how to help your crops grow. And so we're getting to know our community and doing something fun together with the young people. And we just started last week and the kids had a blast.
What a great idea. I love that.
The other is involve them in what you do at church. You know, we're talking about church too, but yes. One of the greatest blessings I have was mentoring a 12-year-old. And the 12-year-old, somebody says, you let them do the internet? And well, I said, you have no idea all the responsibility they've been given.
Yeah.
And they grew and actually have done very well for themselves beyond that. Build a relationship with somebody. I Pastor, you've got we talked about the bicycle triathlon. That's one way where you get to know their names.
That's right. Yeah, we're in a church of about 50 or 60 members, but very few young people. And so we thought, what are ways we can kind of reach out to our community, not necessarily invite them here, but go out to where they're at. And so we started a triathlon at Montcalm Community College because they've got a pool there and nice tracks for us to bike and run. And our first triathlon 8 years ago, we had 12 kids. It wasn't very big, but now year after year, we've got 40 to 50 kids who are coming out from the community.
Wow.
And we're spending 6 weeks with them, training them every week.
Oh,
and
that's wonderful.
We have a picnic with them. At the end of the 6 weeks, and they finish the race, we put a medallion around their neck and give them a brand new bike for training with us.
So really?
It's a lot of fun. And we got to know a lot of people in our community that way.
What is the age group?
6 to 16-year-old kids.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so three different divisions. Uh-huh. And we've got about 6 volunteers from our church. And they go out in the community and fundraise, go to the businesses and say, uh-huh, would you like to sponsor a kid? And instead of having kids exercise their thumbs all summer, we'll get them a bicycle and they can, after the race is done, they're not going to stop exercising. They got a brand new bike.
Yes.
Well, you know, and I think, Cindy, taking a personal interest in that, you've got to find some reason to way to interact with them. And what can you do to interact? You know, we as adults, as we get older, we tend to become farther and farther from our youth.
Yes.
And I shared the story in our preparation that my wife, the kids just magnet, they just come to her. The kids see me on the platform, but maybe I need to work on that name, learning their names. You also said, how do you engage asking that second and third question to build involvement? What were those questions?
Well, I think after we've greeted them by name for several weeks, they're going to feel a certain tie, a certain affinity to us. And if we say, hey, how's it going with you spiritually? What's up with you and God? They're often willing to answer that question. I have traveled quite extensively in my work for the church, and I've often spoken to groups of young people. And one of the questions I ask them as a whole group is, how many of you have ever had someone other than your parents pray with you one-on-one? And you know, Tom, almost never does a young person raise their hand.
How can that happen?
Yeah, I think we all think somebody else is doing it. But if we get to know them by name, maybe we say, hey, how'd your week go? And so glad to see you here in church today. Because as I say, for many teenagers particularly, it's their choice to come to church or not to come to church. So I want them to know that they're appreciated and valued, and that I'm glad that they're there. And sometimes I even tell them, I think all heaven is glad you came today. Really glad to see you today. They become a little bit warmer to the idea of this old person asking them a more personal question, like, how are things going with you? Or how are things with you and God? Do you have struggles? Is there something I can pray with you about? How can I pray for you today? Would it be okay if we pray together today? And I've never had a young people say no, that they didn't want me to pray with them.
So they're actually in church, and besides their Sabbath school teacher.
Yes. Uh-huh. No, but the Sabbath school teacher is going to pray with the whole group. Right.
It's not one-on-one.
Exactly. Uh-huh.
So as we wind up how to involve our youth, it's each one of us. And what I heard you say is, first of all, take an inventory, find out who they are.
Yes.
Their names are.
Get a list. Uh-huh. Maybe you actually want to do it with some other people and say, let's divide up this list. Maybe I can't talk to every single young person, but maybe I will have 3 to 5 on my list. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And when I see them at church, I will ask them how their week was. Uh-huh. And maybe, I'm just throwing this out, maybe I will decide that I will pray with at least one of my 3 to 5 youth this week.
What I think that's a beautiful plan, a beautiful model.
Well,
imagine if everyone in every church did that. Why, there would be such an awakening for the youth. They would feel valued and loved and cared for. And who knows what could come out from that.
Absolutely.
It seems simple, but it makes a world of difference to their experience when they've come to church.
Mm-hmm,
somebody
mm-hmm.
knows my name. They told me that they care about me, and they're glad that I came.
Yes. Yeah.
Uh-huh. You know, that may not happen at their school, and it
right.
may not happen in their home, unfortunately, but let's make sure that happens at church.
Yes.
That's right.
Amen.
Well, it's been a pleasure to have Dr. Cindy Tuch here share these lessons, and my co-host, Pastor E.J. Wolf. We're looking forward to doing something. We did the triathlon. Well, we're going to talk about gardening, involving youth and gardening.
Sounds good.
Until next time, I'm Tom Majeur for Strong Tower Radio Feature. Until God bless you, and we'll meet again. Bye now.